From a million to one shot, he became a true champion of the world. Now, the glory.
Because of the continuous violent blows to the head, the effects are irreversible.
The crowds.
My husband is retired. He has nothing more to prove.
And the money are gone.
You lost millions.
Look, I still got my place in the old neighborhood.
His title is in the hands of a new champion.
He might win a few fights, but he's no Rocky Balboa.
Controlled by an unscrupulous promoter.
This is your medical report. It's not so good, but we can work around it.
All that's left is his family.
We've been down before. I'll get it all back.
His heart.
I gotta fight, okay? I got problems, I gotta fight.
And a dream. A dream to get it all back.
This is a tremendous opportunity.
Opportunity for who? For you to make money for him to be disabled?
Welcome back in for another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. We are very happy to welcome back Scott Parks to the podcast. He was on when we did Cobra. You only come on to do Sylvester Stallone movies. We can't have you on for any other actor, any other kind of movie. Sylvester Stallone movies, that's your wheelhouse.
Well, thank you for having me, and Sly is my man.
Rob is here as well. This is the big podcast. This is one that we have been saving for the beginning of the year. It is Rocky V. All three of us love the Rocky series. Parks, is this your favorite movie franchise? Are you a Star Wars guy? Where would you kind of put Rocky?
It's definitely near the top. I mean, of course, you have Star Wars and James Bond, and Rocky would probably be number two right behind the Star Wars franchise.
So this movie, we're doing Rocky V right now. This movie is rated a 5.4 on IMDb. This movie was released on November 16th of 1990, has a runtime of 104 minutes. The budget is between $30 and $42 million. Not sure how we couldn't wrangle this in a little bit more, but it did make $120 million at the box office. Parks, we're happy to have you on here from some like historical context, because Rob and I are, you know, younger than you. So we obviously know the Rocky franchise is being built. Big, but we didn't live it in real time. How big was the release of Rocky V when it came out?
It was big, but it was panned pretty early on. I remember it was nothing compared to the release of Rocky III in 1982. I can still remember going to the theater. It was packed. People, you know, by then, Rocky I, of course, was movie of the year, and Rocky II, while not even near the top of my favorite Rocky movies, Rocky II just had so much build up because of how well Rocky I was done. And but it was Rocky III, and you know, Mr. T was really big back then as part of the A-team and on television. And I just remember Rocky III coming out, and it was like, wow, huge. Rocky by the time Rocky V came out, I think the general thought was this franchise is getting a little tired, stale almost. And there are some scenes, it's not a completely horrible Rocky, but it's darn close. And, you know, we were talking about this last week, the three of us. I like the story idea. I hate how it was told. And as I was driving in earlier, and I was thinking back on Rocky V, a movie of which I've seen so many times. I mean, it's kind of like Twister or Armageddon. It's a terrible movie, but you just can't turn it off when it's on TV. And so I'll watch it. I watched it a couple of weeks ago when it was on television. But there are so many things about Rocky V that I just don't understand. And this is just part of the plot. In the beginning of the movie, of course, you know, he's just coming off the fight with Ivan Drago in Russia. And I thought that was actually a really good scene where he calls out for Adrian and he can't stop his hand from trembling. And you just know that Rocky is damaged badly from that fight in Rocky IV. But then when they get back to the United States and they're in the office of either an investor or a lawyer, a financial advisor, whatever, and they're telling Rocky and Adrian that they've basically been swindled. You never hear anything else about that.
It never comes up any other point again in the movie.
And I mean, Who swindled him? What happened to that person? Why didn't Rocky go beat his? Can I say that?
You can curse.
Why can't they? Why didn't Rocky go beat his ass? You know, somebody steals millions and millions of dollars from me. We're gonna have, and I'm a heavyweight champion of the world. We're gonna have a fight, and you're going to lose. But there's more to it than just that. Like, whatever happened to the guy who stole all that money from him? Number one, I would imagine for Rocky, and this, you're trying to make sense out of the nonsensical. I bet he paid for cash for a lot of those nice cars. I bet the house was pretty close to being paid off with the millions and millions he must have made when Mickey was, quote unquote, carrying him, which is a line from Rocky III. So he didn't sell the house and get some equity out of that, or sell all of his cars. And I mean, he'd still be worth millions.
That's one of my big plot holes. I do want to get to
and
that.
He's unemployable.
let me get to the cast and the box office for this movie. And I do, cause that the whole premise from the very beginning, there's some holes in how this story is told. So the movie came out November 16th of 1990. The box office this week, listen to this, Parks. Home Alone debuted at number one with $17 million. Rocky V debuted at number two at $14 million. Child's Play 2 was number three with $5 million. The Rescuers down under was number four at $3.4 million. And Ghost with Patrick Swayze, that movie was fifth that week at $3 million. That was the week that Rocky V debuted in the theaters. The cast of Rocky V, you guys know the characters. Sylvester Stallone returns as Rocky. Talia Shire is Adrian. Burt Young is Paulie. Sage Stallone, his actual son in real life, he plays Rocky Balboa Jr.
I think passed years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think he's alive.
R.I.P. Sage. Tommy Morrison is Tommy Gunn. Mickey is in this movie for just a little
kinda.
Bit. Yeah. Richard Gann is also George Washington Duke. That's basically the cast of this movie. All right, let's get to the plot of it. You kind of got to the beginning of this movie. I actually like the scene where he's like struggling after the fight. I think he acts pretty well. And I do think that the movie has a pretty consistent theme of the love and how pure it is between Rocky and Adrian, and how no matter how Rocky is, the only person that can really talk sense into him is normally Adrian. What got him out of his funk in Rocky III? It was Adrian. What got him to believe that he could beat Ivan Drago in the fourth one? It's Adrian. Like, I think they carry that theme really well. I was sitting there thinking, like, Rocky, if you want me to believe Rocky is who he is in this universe, and he is one of the most popular athletes in the world, he would not be that broke where you got to go back all the way home to Philadelphia. You would be commentating fights. You'd be signing autographs in Vegas. You would be doing something where, sure, maybe you're not at the height that you used to be in. But, I mean, we've seen Mike Tyson go rich and broke 15 times in our lifetime. He ain't never had to live like that. That part's unrealistic about the movie. I also hate, and you remember at the end of Rocky IV, Rocky's kid is like seven. Yeah. And then when he comes back from Russia, his kid's like 19.
He's like in middle school. He has to learn how to be in middle school again. Yeah, that's rough. You're right about the swindling. And like they explain it as like Paulie had you sign this thing, Paulie led you astray, and they have one argument with Paulie, and then Paulie's like, hey, still in good graces. If I was a millionaire in Carrington, you're my friend, you came to me and you said, hey, sign this thing, it's like insurance, turns out to not be insurance, turns out that you turned out you took away millions of dollars from me from convincing me to sign this thing, we ain't gonna be buddy-buddy anymore the way he and Paulie just keep palling around. That's the weird part. It's like the whole broke thing just felt wrong and like poorly done, maybe is the better term.
Yeah, like they were trying to find a reason to get him back to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Parks, they didn't really flesh out the how he ends up back in the same place as Rocky One. Like they tried to go back to all of the same familiar places from the first movie. But you're right, like him and Paulie never have a conflict. If I entrusted you and you lost everything that I've worked for in my adult life, we would have a conflict that just really wasn't really in the movie.
There is a scene in the beginning or near the beginning where Adrian and Paulie do have some conflict regarding it was that he did with Rocky's money. It disappears almost as quickly as it appears. And you know, maybe Rocky's too dumb or something to really pay any attention to where all of his money's going. But I remember being alive in the 90s because I don't know, I was 20 years old, and this was the time, this was pre-internet. You're not doing any online banking. The bank sent you a statement every single month telling you how much money you had in your account. and where your money was going. And this was also the time when, you know, and I was investing at that point, not a lot, but a little. And the company that you had mutual bonds with, or stocks with, would send you a statement and you would know where your money's going. Now, maybe Rocky is too dumb and been hit in the head too many times that he doesn't have the capacity to follow where his money's going, but Adrian sure does. Neither one of them, with as much money as they had, were paying attention to where their money was going.
Especially because Adrian, you would think in this movie, is not working. Like, one of your responsibilities to make sure that people are not taking advantage of your husband.
Also, putting Paulie in charge is crazy.
And Paulie showed him was a screw up for four straight movies. Yeah. Why are you now putting him?
Raging alcoholic.
Yeah. Why would you ever put Paulie in a situation where he could sign for something for your family?
And then you also have to take this into account. I mean, was all of that money, and I imagine with all those winnings and titles that it was in the millions, even for 1980s and early 90s standards. At no point, let me rewind my thought here. Every year they would have had to have done their taxes. So I'm sure they had an accountant. And you're telling me all this money was stolen in the course of less than 1 year? Because your accountant would say, listen, Rocky, I don't know how much you owe in taxes because you don't have any money.
They do like that. They make that throwaway line. You haven't paid taxes. How? Yeah. How do you not employ someone that tells you how to pay your taxes? Like, is Paulie responsible for all the financials? And if so, you're a moron.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense. I will say this. I actually really like the montage that starts this movie. I understand then, you know, you didn't maybe go back and rewatch things, you know, the way that we have the ability to do now. So every, you know, Rocky movie kind of starts with the montage of reminding you what happens before. I thought the way that they summarized Rocky IV at the beginning of this, I thought was really good. I really liked it. We mentioned the scene where Rocky's struggling. He's asking for Mick, but Mick has passed away. And, you know, Adrian's like, it's time to go home. The press conference that they had where he's back in the state. I don't know if your kid would be sitting there and had a microphone in front of you. That part
that's
was
weird, yeah.
Too. I think they're trying to set up that Rocky's a little bit out of it.
Excuse me, my husband is retired. He has nothing. He has nothing more.
Wait a minute. Hey, Rocky, don't you consider this a public responsibility to respond now rather than later?
Respond to the people.
I mean, isn't this a question of professionalism to talk about it now, not later?
My invite you first.
Whipping you got ain't nothing like what I got here for you.
So what in the hell does this all mean?
No. That isn't enough. We got to hear about this now.
Got to think about that. So anyway, I want to tell everybody that the flight over was really nice.
Come on, guys. We need more.
Adrian, you know, if you weren't with me, I never would have done as good. You're my Adrian. You're always there, you know? And my kid, having you is like being born all over again.
Maybe that's how he got took, and obviously later when they do a scan of his brain, and he has CTE, they just didn't have the medical term for it then. Mm-hmm. The movie is trying to set you up in that press conference where he's not answering questions directly, and he appears to be a little bit out of it. They then get back to the home, and he doesn't really acknowledge his son. The movie was trying to tell you Rocky's not all there.
Yeah, but he was all there prior to the fight with Ivan Drago.
Yeah, he was.
You know, I mean,
it happened quick.
So, yeah. We haven't even talked about the most glaringly awful thing about Rocky V, and I don't like to speak poorly of the dead, but Tommy Morrison, at the time from the Kansas City area.
Don't get too far ahead. We got to get to Tommy Gunn.
Okay, all right.
Don't worry. We're going to get to Tommy Gunn. We got to get far. So later on in the evening, you mentioned it. Paulie and Adrian are arguing. We find out that their accountant has run off with the money. A couple more fights and Rocky can be out of this financial situation. But Adrian says he needs to see a doctor first. Rocky has advanced CTE and can't fight anymore. Well, with no money coming in and the money all gone, Rocky has to move back to Philadelphia. I've heard enough famous people say this, that being famous but simultaneously being broke has to be the worst thing. Because everybody's coming up to you like you're the man, you're this hero, and you're just completely down and out. Because they show that scene where he's going back home to Philadelphia, and they have everybody outside like, oh, hey, Rock, you're back in the neighborhood. Rocky wasn't too excited about being back in the neighborhood.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, no, Rocky.
Also, this scene kind of irritates me because he's moving to this house and everyone in the entire neighborhood knows where the most famous person in the in the city lives. Like Travis Kelce, I'll use him as the example, busted out and was broke and moved down to a lesser neighborhood. And the entire neighborhood was there to watch him move in. I imagine Travis Kelce would be like, yeah, I feel uncomfortable with the amount of people who know where I live. Rock was like, hey, everyone, my little small chain link fence will protect me. Like, what are we doing?
What did you guys get out of the car and say $5 for an autograph? Who's first?
Yeah. What did you guys think of the way they used Mickey in this movie? I actually didn't like the way that they used Mickey.
I actually liked it.
He had way too many ghost conversations. I wasn't a big fan of how they used
Mickey. I think I liked it because it highlighted that Rocky's not there. And Rocky is trying to connect with something that is gone, and it shows he's not mental. Because, like, at the beginning, it talks about, like, he's looking for Mick, but he's connecting, and, like, he's trying as the manager to do the stuff Mick did. I actually thought one of the highlights of this movie is the fact they use Mick as, like, this omnipresent being that is trying to help Rocky and has always been helping Rocky. He just can't because he's passed on now.
I don't have a problem with how they use Mick in this movie, but one thing I just thought of is the Rocky that you see in Rocky V reminds me of the Rocky that you see in Rocky II.
I agree.
Because in 3 and 4, he's much more intelligent, mm-hmm. much more well-spoken, where in 1 and 2, he's this, you know, shady, kind of dumb guy from the streets. And then all of a sudden, he gets education in Rocky III, and he gets more education in Rocky IV. It's a totally different Rocky, if you really think about it. You know, he's much more chiseled in 3 than he was in 2. And 4, of course, he looks like a Adonis. My goodness.
Steroids do the body right.
Yeah, sure will, won't it? But I one of the many things I have about Rocky 5 that I don't like is just how dumb they make Rocky.
No, that's fair.
Appear.
I kind of feel like what happened in this movie is they didn't really have another place to take the story. Where in Rocky III, you know, you kind of keep the black fighter versus white fighter. This time he has to find himself. He has to find the eye of the tiger. In the fourth one, it's Russia. They didn't really know where to take Rocky. So the only place to take him is kind of back to his roots. And I think they really struggled to kind of find Rocky a whole new purpose this time, where it was easy for the first four movies.
You know, in a perfect world, and obviously we don't live in one, what became known as Rocky VI, but is really known as called Balboa, which I think came out in...
You love Balboa.
I do. It's my second favorite.
Yeah, you love Balboa.
I wish Rocky V just never existed in the storyline. And he went right from Rocky IV to a plot line similar to what you see in Balboa, where he's runs his own restaurant and he's telling stories from table to table. And then, you know, some up-and-coming champ, you know, gets his butt hurt because... On ESPN, they're saying that Balboa in his prime would have beat this guy, Mason Dixon. And that was a great Rocky, Rocky VI. I wish that had been the real Rocky V. Because Rocky V is borderline useless in the whole plot line.
I'll say this, this is the advantage of hindsight, and it's in that same vein. Rocky V, the entire time I was watching it, is a worse version of Creed. Because at its core, what Creed is, now I know it's not part of the Rocky franchise per se, but Michael B. Jordan's Creed is Rocky's kind of done. He's kind of living his own life, and he's now found this fighter, and he's going to get back into it. He's going through his own personal struggles. In this movie, it's the shaky hands and the financial, but in Creed, it's the fact that, you know, he's got the cancer. Like, there's a personal struggle. Rocky's not committed to boxing, but he's going to help this young up-and-comer, and he doesn't help anyone else. He just helps this one guy. At his core, it's the same story. Creed is just done light years better, and you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't speak ill of the dead. It's because Michael B. Jordan's an actual actor, and Tommy Morrison comes off like he can't act, and he's just kind of a goofy, punching brawler, and that's where I think this story, and I've seen it done well, which again, with the advantage of hindsight, when this movie came out, no one knew Creed existed. It wasn't better, but now I've seen that, I'm like, oh, that's better, and it's the same concept.
Yeah, we could just have this part of the conversation now, because I think I actually think Rocky V has the basis of a good movie.
I agree.
I think it's missing some of the Rocky formula that I think they picked back up with Creed. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about this, Parks. Music is instrumental in how the story is told in Rocky. When he does the first training montage, when he runs through the streets, they play the iconic song that we've all heard a million times. Eye of the Tiger in the third one. In Rocky IV, there's a bunch of music montages. This doesn't have the music component of it. The final fight, it's like kind of comedy, but it's not like epic. Like him fighting Mr. T for the second time and the third one, the culmination, when he finally fights Ivan Drago, it pays off the entire plot of the movie. I don't really think this has this, and this movie doesn't have one of those iconic training montages.
No.
Like, a lot of the things of why we like Rocky is not in this movie.
No, it's not, and think about the formula that is a good Rocky movie, and I'm not a huge fan of Rocky II, and Rocky I only works because the acting is so good. The, mm-hmm. the character building is so strong. But in 3 and 4, which became gigantic monster hits, in 3, for example, there's actually 3 fights and a montage of a bunch of others at the beginning. But he fights Hulk Hogan. Then he loses to Mr. T.
Yeah.
He got and then, whooped up by yeah. Mr. T.
And then Apollo comes back in and
gets him right. Yeah, gets him back.
And fixes him. In Rocky IV, there's actually 2 fights. There's the fight between Drago and Apollo Creed. Great turn of the story where Apollo dies. Sorry if you haven't seen it. And and then, of course, the training and the fight against Ivan Drago in Russia.
4 actually has my favorite training montage. No pain, no pain. Yeah. That training montage is incredible.
When he's like in Siberia or whatever.
But I think with Rocky V, what they were trying to get back to was the storytelling, the character building that made Rocky I work so well, where the franchise has become reliant on the fighting. Now, I think Sylvester Stallone wanted to get back to the kind of story that Rocky I was, but Rocky I survives and still survives well because the acting was so strong. That is what is missing in Rocky V.
No, 100%.
I also think in Rocky I, at its core, everyone can relate and loves an underdog story. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who is the never was, has been, taking on the it guy. And even though he loses in Rocky I guess spoiler there too, if you haven't seen that one, we all can relate to the guy who had to come up through the mud, so to speak, to get the big fight. Rocky V doesn't have any of that. Like, he's rich, now he's poor. Look, he's poor again, he has to go through the poor stuff. But you never feel that, like, underdog mentality. Tommy Gunn shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm undefeated in Oklahoma, you should train me. You never feel that underdog mentality. That, at its core, is why Rocky I works. Rocky I is basically the Cinderella story we have every March in college basketball, just done in movie form. That doesn't exist at all in Rocky V.
Let me get to the plot here a little bit. George Washington Duke, another character that is obviously Don King. Like, that is the inspiration for this character.
He talks like him.
He uses all his catchphrases. George Washington Duke is trying to convince Rocky to fight, but Adrian continues to shut this idea down. Rock walks his little man to school the next day, and on his way home, he is approached by Tommy Gunn. Duke won't stop and approaches Rocky, this time outside the gym, but Adrian continues to stand on business and will not let Rocky fight. We get to see Tommy Gunn in the ring for the first time. He gets a little bit too aggressive in a sparring session, but he has some raw talent and wants Rocky to manage him. Meanwhile, Baby Balboa is having a tough time at school, but he does seem to have a little girlfriend. Tommy is persistent and wanting Rocky to manage him. Rocky, wanting to help, invites Tommy to dinner and gives him a place to stay. Baby Balboa fixes up Rocky's memorabilia down in the basement, but Rocky is too busy with Tommy Gunn and telling stories. You just made this point a little bit ago about the storytelling and how this movie kind of wanted to get back to character building and an arc. This is why I say the framework of a really good movie is here. There is a character development with every character that's in here. You can see it as the movie is beginning. Tommy Gunn and he is starting to get increasingly jealous that no matter what I do in my career, they are always going to compare me to Rocky, and eventually I have to get out of his shadow. The movie does a good job of setting up the jealousy with his son. All the attention that he is now pouring into Tommy Gunn, he used to pour into his son. There's a really good movie here, but as we both mentioned, it just doesn't have some of the Rocky magic that the first movies had.
Right. I do like the skeleton of the story. I just don't like how he fleshed it out. And keep in mind, you know, at the time, Sylvester Stallone was knee deep in the Rambo franchise, which is another great franchise. And he was making other movies too. I can't remember them all at the Cobra and
Cliffhanger.
There was also the one where he's that was Cobra.
Is he in Predator at this time? Is it Predator? What's the one where is he in Carl Weathers? There's that movie. I forget the name. It's going to bother. But
there were 5 years between Rocky IV and Rocky V, because Rocky IV came out in 1985. He obviously had the storyline running through his head. But I think he was so distracted with all the other movies he was making at the time that he never really fleshed this movie out. I don't know who got them to cast Tommy Morrison as Tommy Gunn. I mean, on the audition alone, I would have said, we're going to get somebody else. Say what you will about Tommy Morrison. One thing he is not is an actor at all. And, you know, this is part of the plot that I don't like, is how quickly Tommy Gunn turns on Rocky Balboa.
Instantly.
Yeah, almost overnight. And even if I was jealous and afraid that I wouldn't be able to get out of somebody's shadow, do you think I'm going to go to a bar and fight that person who was so good to me? I mean, Rocky never did anything to him.
Not anything. The only thing wrong Rocky did, and I know we're going ahead, but if you listen to this podcast, you've seen this movie before, is he just didn't fast-track him towards his title shot. Like, and another thing, though, that I do think the George Washington Duke character did, and I think we see this all the time, is he dangled the riches in front of him. Mm-hmm. Rocky is trying to show you how to build a career, not be a flash in the pan. He is trying to show you how to build a career the same way that Mick did for him. And then, you know, you got the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. Here's this other guy. He gives you this hot girlfriend that's got the rack. They give you the mink coat. They give you the car. They give you all of these things. You can see how somebody who came from nothing in Oklahoma gets lured away by this person who comes in promising you these things.
Now, let me be very clear. There are some bright spots in this movie. I think Talia Shire does her best acting.
She's really good
as Adrian in Rocky V.
I'm with you.
And it also contains two of the best Rocky lines of all time. My ring's outside, and you knocked him down. Why don't you try knocking me down now? Those are the two best lines in that movie.
When the movie really starts to turn is the Christmas Eve. So it's Christmas Eve. Tommy is supposed to be there with their family.
But he's at the party.
But he's at the party. So instead of being with the Balboa family, he is being courted by Duke and leaves Rocky behind. Duke is telling Tommy to leave Rocky and offers him $20,000. And it's time to put some hustle behind that muscle.
By the way, he got that car purchased that night, apparently. He gets a Christmas Eve. Hey, here's $20,000 on Christmas Eve night. I'm heading to the dealership, which is open, apparently. And it's going to pay cash.
I was just mesmerized by the fact that they just gave you a girlfriend. Like, hey, here, this is your new relationship. Like, what? Wait, hold on. That's the only woman we see around him the whole movie. So Rocky is trying to bond with his son, but baby Balboa isn't having it. He tries to talk to his son, but his kid is gone. George Washington Duke crashes the party, showing up with gifts. Tommy Gunn comes to talk to Rocky, telling him that he is leaving and signing with Duke. Once again, Adrian is there to try to straighten him out. This was, to me, the best scene in the movie, where
he chases the car.
Man, the way I'm going, I'm not going to get a shot at the title for a long time.
Oh, this is Tommy.
Man, I've got a perfect record. I'm 22-0. Where's the money? Where? Man, we haven't made any serious money yet. And we won't without the man.
I ain't talking about the money. Look, the money is going to be there. But this, I'm talking about your rep, Tommy. Don't sell out. We don't need this guy.
Listen, Duke is a wonderful man. Put the top off.
Hey, forget about the top, would you? I'm signing papers with the man tomorrow.
Oh, listen to me, Tommy. You sign them papers, you're like his property, so you got no control. You know, this is a dirty business. It's full of these thieves and gangsters, you know, and they promise every good young fighter who comes along, they promise them the world, and they suck them dry, and they leave them when they ain't worth nothing, they leave them in the gutter broke, Tommy. That's the way this business is run. Look, the guy's like Duke. You know what he is? He's a vampire. He's living off your blood, Tommy. You know, the thing I'm trying to do is what Mick done to me. He tried to keep me away from the dirty part of the business. The way I'm trying to do for you. Man, I ain't you, and you ain't Mick. Man, when are you gonna understand that?
He chases the car. It is obvious that Tommy Gunn's not coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adrian's like, hey, we've given him enough. And then it's obvious that his son is not interested in whatever Rocky has to say, and Rocky is not seeing it. Like, he's not seeing what's going on in his home life or his business life. And then, you know, the promoter shows up. He obviously kind of breaks the news to him, and Rocky is pleading with Tommy, hey, listen to me. I know the right way to do this. And Tommy has no interest in listening to him. Adrian goes outside and chases them down in the street, and they have the, he doesn't have your heart.
If there's something you want to pass it on to your son. For God's sakes, your son is lost. He needs you. I know Tommy makes you feel great. He makes you feel like you're winning again. But you're losing us. Rocky, you're losing your family.
This was my favorite stretch of the movie.
See, my favorite part of the movie is the only time that that Tommy Gunn is in the movie but isn't talking. And it's the basement scene when Rocky's watching the fight.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot.
That is a really, really good Rocky scene. And then Tommy Gunn wins that fight and he says, like, you know, I just want to thank the angel on my shoulder. I can't remember exactly what the line he uses, but it's something like that. And he thanks
the promoter, the fake Don King.
The fake Don King.
And gets booed like crazy.
And you see the pain in Rocky's face and the just complete bewilderment of his entire family. And of course, that's when Paulie says, let's go grab a couple drinks. And that leads to a very good, I thought, good ending of the movie. I think the last 20 minutes of that movie is actually pretty darn good.
So this is where me and you're going to disagree. I agree with you. The scene where he's in the street and the scene where he's watching Tommy Gunn fight are two scenes where I'm like, I agree with you. The skeleton for a great movie is there. Mm-hmm. He clearly cares about Tommy. Tommy's betrayed him, but he's still like, hey, I care about Tommy. Tommy's like me. He's a brawl. That is good. There's an emotional connectivity, and you can see with this kid down there, Dad, it's okay. We know you were part of it. Da, da, da. But I think the final fight at the bar is the goofiest thing. He should get back into the real ring and box him, or I do not like it's a bar fight in the street where a camera crew shows up and fake Don King is like, punch me and I'll sue you. I do not like the ending of this movie at all.
I do want to get to that. There's one scene kind of before this that I want to talk to you guys about. I love the press conference scene. It's so good. So Tommy,
that's part of that.
So Tommy wins. Tommy thinks this is what I need to do for the people to love me. I have been in Rocky's shadow. I have removed myself from Rocky. If I win this fight, I'm the heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. No one can tell me anything. He's not loved by the crowd in any way. And then when he goes to the press conference, he's expecting the media to kind of give him that love. You guys have been saying I'm in Rocky's shadow. Rocky's not here. I'm the champion. And the media is hostile. I love the press conference scene.
Tommy, don't you think that this looked more like a Philadelphia sparring session at times instead of a championship match? It looked like it broke a sweat.
Yeah, very observant. Union Gain wasn't feeling that good, but Tommy Gunn would have done the same thing if Union was 100%.
100%? He felt like he didn't have a heartbeat. Come on.
Everybody knows that Kane is just a paper champion.
Yeah, what do you mean by paper champion?
It means Kane's title was manufactured. He never won it from Balboa.
Gentlemen, get a bar break. Union Kane is for real.
Tommy, you ever think you're going to get off from underneath Rocky Balboa's shadow?
Man, I won the title. What more do I have to do?
I'll tell you what you have to do.
You've got to fight some real opponents, right?
Man, I beat Balboa the best tonight.
The best? This guy's a bum. He doesn't even deserve a shot at the title.
Gentlemen, we're getting carried away. Now, Union Kane was the recognized champ. Next question.
We know the rating system can be manipulated. The bottom line is Tommy Gunn beat a second-rate fighter with so much glass in his jaw, he ought to be a chandelier.
It's probably the most realistic moment in the movie. You know, the boxing press has always had a reputation for, you know, having sharp elbows. But back to the basement scene for just one moment. The thing that makes that work is the three best actors in all of, well, three of the best actors in the entire Rocky franchise are involved in that one. Adrian, Paulie, and Rocky. That group of actors, that's why that scene works so well, is they're so damn talented and so good at acting. And also because Tommy Gunn's not in it, except as a boxer.
Yeah, as a boxer.
Doing what Tommy Morrison did best.
Yeah, I also think, too, and, you know, I agree with you, it's just like his son seeing the joy that Rocky is getting from watching Tommy fight. Like, I think that's when his son kind of realized how kind of lost his father was in all of this. Like, he's sitting there, and he's, like, back in the ring, and he's watching his process. I'm with you. I really love this. So now this is where we get to the bar. Tommy Gunn pulls up to where Rocky is hanging out with the news crew, challenging him to a fight. Rocky rejects the offer initially, but after Gunn punches Paulie, it's time to take it to the streets. Go ahead and say it.
Well, you knocked him down now. Why don't you try knocking me down?
My ring's outside. Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring.
My ring's outside.
That's what he said. So Rocky wins round one. Gunn takes round two. Rocky is having some CTE flashbacks, and hearing Mickey's voice is all he needs for round three. He has to win this fight. Tommy took his son's room. Rocky wins the third round by TKO. Rocky also wins the fourth round of the fight against Duke, and he knocks him out.
The fight scene outside the bar has one of the worst cases of cinematography I've ever seen.
This is why I hate it. It's everything about it's bad.
Well, you're right. there are some things in the fight scene at the end that are just like, what? Like, how many times is Tommy Gunn going to jump up and tackle him from behind? At some point, don't you just kind of walk facing your opponent and just say, I'm going to make sure he doesn't get back up? But there's one scene where Mickey comes to Rocky in a vision, and Rocky sits up, and that is some of the worst filming. You know, it's almost like he's angelic or like a ghost just rising up off of the pavement. And, but I, you know, with hindsight being what it is, Rob, you're right. There are some parts of that scene that are just too much.
And like to your point about the, maybe go back up and look at your opponent. How many fences and dumpsters and trash cans do we have? Is this alley just every restaurant and bar in the city empties into this? Because it's like narrow corridors, but then empties into it. It's like I couldn't get it, and it was like flat. The camera's like moving too fast. I hated the ending of this movie.
It's too busy where every other final scene, it's about two people. It's about Rocky in the ring with whoever his opponent is.
Which are usually shot really well, too.
In this, it's about 15 people. It's about the news. It's about George Washington Duke. It's about his son. It's about Rocky. It's about Tommy Gunn. You're right. It's cutting. It's trying to kind of tell you so many different perspectives at one time when we only want Rocky and Tommy's perspective.
Something I just thought of that is horribly unrealistic about that final scene. I never thought about this before. Was there a news station satellite truck that was following Tommy Gunn everywhere he went? I mean, what TV station in Kansas City would follow some, I mean, they don't even follow Patrick Mahomes with a satellite truck. Because that fight got on the television real quick. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Also, like, we don't know what day of the week it is. Can you imagine you're sitting at home and you're watching the 6 o'clock news and they break in? No weather today because Tommy Gunn and Rocky Balboa are fighting in the street. Everyone get down to the bar.
I would love to see the ratings for that day because I'm telling you that they, girl, if you don't turn on the TV quick, Rocky fighting on channel 4.
I mean, the fight literally lasts 4 minutes, 5 minutes. and they got it on TV that quick.
Yeah, no, they were instant.
And his kid sees it on TV and they leave their house to get down to the bar in the timeline where the fight is still happening.
What do you guys think about the final, I guess, 2 minutes of the movie where Rocky runs up the steps with his kid and he gives his son the necklace that Mickey gave him that originally he wanted to give to Tommy Gunn? I did like the way that the movie ended, and it felt like, obviously, like, this was going to be the last Rocky, and they took a pretty extended break between Rocky 5 until they get to Balboa. Him giving his necklace to his actual real-life son was a really good way of ending this story.
See, I disagree. Conceptually, I agree with you, but maybe it's just me, never at any point in the movie cared about the cufflink storyline. They keep talking about, like, oh, this is Rocky Marciano's cufflink. Is his cufflink? Is his cufflink? He tries to give it to Tommy. Tommy doesn't want it. His kid takes it as an earring at one point. The cufflink storyline never registered with me. So, like, I get at its core what they're trying to do, and it's a nice moment, but the cufflink thing never hit for me. So I was like, this is lame.
I agree. I'm with Rob on that one. I thought it was lame.
Yeah, I like it. I just think, you know, like, it was cool. Like, it, to me, it brought the whole franchise kind of full circle that he was given this in the first one and he ends
I don't dislike the two of them going up the steps, the iconic steps where his statue once stood, but the cufflink, it's totally unnecessary. Maybe, you know, when I was younger, I used to run up these steps and blah, 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 and just fade to black and let's end the series.
So this movie got a 32% on Rotten Tomatoes with a average rating of 4.2 out of 10. The website's critical consensus says Rocky V's attempt to recapture the original working class grit is as transparently phony as its obvious plot development and a misguided installment that leaves the franchise flailing into long-term limbo. I think that's a little bit harsh on this movie. I don't love Rocky V, and it is near the bottom of my rankings. I really do think there is a sort of spirit and heart about this movie that makes it rewatchable. It's not as rewatchable as 3 or 4 or the first one, but you and I talked about this a little bit off the air, Parks. I like this way more than I like Rocky II. I don't really like Rocky II or find it that enjoyable or fun to watch. I think this movie, in some comedic ways, is actually fun to watch.
You could not be more wrong. If this was not Rocky V, if there had never been the four before it, and it was just a movie that Sly Stallone did in the late 80s, early 90s, just called Rocky, this movie would have bombed. The only reason it even got the box office it did
they had the Rocky
was because
game.
It was riding on the coattails of 1 through 4. This would have been what it is, but it would have been even worse because you wouldn't have known the Rocky Balboa character if this was a standalone movie. And this would have been one of Sylvester Stallone's, and it is to some extent, worst, most embarrassing moments in filmmaking. If it weren't for the rest of the franchise, barely keeping this movie afloat.
So this is where we get to what the movie did right and what the movie got wrong. Parks, I'll let you go first. What do you think Rocky V gets right?
A couple of good one-liners, a great opening scene. Again, Talia Shire and the guy who plays Paulie, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Burt Young?
Burt Young, mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally keep this movie afloat. The Sylvester Stallone is always one of my favorite actors, but the lines that he provided himself with in this movie are some of the weakest in the franchise. Talia Shire is lights out good in this movie. Burt Young is just brilliant as Paulie. But there are so many things about this movie that it gets wrong. When you really pick apart the storyline, it just doesn't hold water. Tommy Morrison, God bless him, never should have been cast for this movie. And as soon as they realized, a couple in the beginning of making the film, when they realized how awful he was, it should have just started right over with somebody else.
I'll give you my right and wrong. What this movie gets right is at its core, there's a good movie in there. You talk about the skeleton. I think the same skeleton's what they used to make Creed. They just, obviously, 30 years, 40 years later, but at its core, that's what they did for Creed. So there's something good there because Creed 1 is great. What they did wrong is it's too busy. You have the kid's storyline. You have Ty Morrison storyline. You have the promoter storyline. You have the shaky hand storyline. You have him going broke storyline. You have him going back to Philadelphia storyline. We didn't talk about it. When he first goes to Mixed Gym, it's like broken down and nothing. And then he, with no money, renovates it and gets it up and going again. There's the Mick Ghost storyline. Like, we do a lot of these podcasts, and a consistent theme of bad movies is they're doing too much. Mm-hmm. This movie is too busy. That's what it gets wrong.
Yeah, I think what the movie gets right is, I think at the core of Rocky, it is a sports movie that is tied around relationships. Rocky's relationship with Adrian, Rocky's relationship with Mickey.
Apollo.
It is tied up into that. The love that these two people have had, Rocky and Adrian, that carried from the pet store in the first one all the way through her death in the sixth one, is strong and gives this movie a heart and a likability. I'm with you that I think the movie is too busy. I just think that Rocky V, like, if you had polled 100 people, why do you like the Rocky franchise? I don't feel like a lot of that magic and a lot of that formula is in this fifth one, and that's what I think kind of leaves it off the cutting room floor, so to speak. Yeah. All right, Parks, we will let you go first here. This movie has been rated a 5.4 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right?
It's too much.
You think it's too much?
I can't put it in. Maybe I haven't been clear over the last 40 minutes or so. I can't put it into words how much I dislike Rocky V.
I think it's too high too. I think this is a 4.9, 4.
Oh, wow.
Too busy. There's like two good actors in this movie. That's not enough to carry it. There's too much going on. And it's just on the heels of one of the Rockies I like the most, Rocky IV, to have this thing come out next was an absolute turd in the punch bowl. 4.9. So 5.4 is too high.
I'm on the opposite side of you guys. I think it's too low. I think this movie is. I think this movie is overly criticized because it comes after the most popular one, which is Rocky IV. Rocky IV is so popular and so iconic, and when you put this up to it, it doesn't come close. I think this is a good movie. I think this is a rewatchable movie. I can't put it in the six. I'm not going to put in the six because our barometer, six is out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put this. This movie's a 5.8.
So you think you still make the podcast, but
this movie should still make the podcast. I think there's a lot of plot holes and a lot of things wrong with it. But you have the, to me, put it in a four makes it unwatchable. Rocky Five is not, Rocky Five is a movie that if it was on YouTube TV and I was looking through, I would stop and watch some of Rocky Five. I can't be overly harsh on it. I'm giving it a 5.
I give it a 4. If one day I will show the Rocky franchise to my child, I will skip from 4 straight to 6. Yep. That's what I'll do.
Oh, wow. No, you gotta watch Tommy Gunn.
It's the Phantom Menace of the Rocky franchise.
Yeah. I watched it on YouTube TV and YouTube TV was like, you sure? You sure you want to watch this movie?
You're the only one.
Scott Parks, man, we're happy to have you join us today on the podcast.
Pleasure,
man.
Was mine. Thank you for the invite.
You are listening to another episode of the Bad Movies and Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Next week, we are doing Cheaper by the Dozen. I don't think I've ever seen that movie before, so excited to break it down. We'll catch you guys next week on the podcast.